text this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, as we attempt to finish out this chapter and this section today. Remember that verses 1 through 18 is the prologue, as John has presented that the Word of God, the Logos of God, known in philosophy at that time as the great thinker behind the universe who has spoken all things into existence, that this great thinker who created all things became flesh. He came into his own creation. In fact, he came into his own people, but he was rejected. But as many as did receive him, they experienced a spiritual birth from God. They were continually believing, putting their trust in the persuasion of God's Spirit. And God gave them the authority to become children of God. But a man came along by the name of John the Baptizer. Not the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, that's the Apostle John. But John the Baptizer came to introduce the Messiah to Israel. He was not the light, but he bore testimony concerning the light. It's the same light that illuminates every human being coming into the world. Last week, as we picked up at verses 19 through 34, was the testimony of John. So right after the prologue, right away, the Apostle John presents the testimony of John the Baptizer. The religious leaders sent people out to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed what he was not, but denied what he was not. He denied that he is the Christ, but he confessed what he wasn't. And that is the fact that he is not Elijah, he's not the Christ, and he's not the prophet. But who was he? He says, "I am a voice," Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "I am a voice crying in the wilderness," as Isaiah the prophet said, "make straight the way of the Lord." So he's a voice. So he confessed that he was a voice, but he denied the fact that he was the Christ, the prophet, or Elijah, which was to come. And so many were receiving John's message, and John's message was that I come baptizing in water, but there's one that's coming after me who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the Lord's ministry. John just came baptizing in water, calling Israelites to repent and turn to Christ, the Messiah. But when Jesus ministers, when he sends his Spirit to a person, they are baptized in his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We have all been made to drink of the same Spirit. We've all been baptized into the body by the same Spirit. To be baptized indicates two things. Number one, cleansing. Number two, identification. When a religious person went through baptism, it was a religious ceremony to identify themselves with the group. It was an initiation. When the Jews would religiously baptize their hands and baptize the cups and the dishes before eating on them, they were ceremonially washing them. It was a ceremony to go through to signify cleansing. When Jesus sends his Spirit into a person's heart, his Spirit cleanses them. And my identification with Jesus Christ is the fact that his Spirit lives within me. It's not my belief that causes me to belong to Christ, but it's his presence in my life. So when Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, that person experiences the cleansing of their sin by the Spirit coming into their spirit or soul. And secondly, identification, which is why we submit to physical baptism. It is a testimony of what God has done, already done in our hearts spiritually. That's what it's for. There is no special spiritual prize or crown for getting water baptized. But we are commanded to do it in order to give testimony that this is what has happened to my heart, my soul, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My soul has experienced an immersion in God's Spirit, where I was cleansed, where I was saved, and where I began my relationship with Jesus Christ. But for today, in verses 35 through 51, the testimony of Jesus Christ. John the Baptizer has come saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who is removing the sin of the world." And people were beginning to follow Jesus. John says, "I was told by the one who sent me to baptize, upon whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove." It was not a dove. "That one is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit." It was a sign for John, because John didn't know who Messiah was. But God said, "Whom you see this sign," and he says, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending and remaining upon the Lamb of God, whom he has now introduced to Israel." John chapter 1, at verse 35, "The next day, again, John had been standing, and two from out of his disciples. And when he looked at Jesus walking, he says, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned, and when he observed them following, he says to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is said, being interpreted, 'teacher.' 'Where are you staying?' he says to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he is staying, and they remained with him." Notice what "with him," para. "They remained alongside of him that day, and the hour was about the 10th, or 4 p.m., 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two, of the ones who had heard from John and had followed him. This one first finds his own brother Simon, and says to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being translated the Christ. And he led him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You yourself are Simon, the son of Jonah. You yourself will be called Cephas,' which is being interpreted Petros," Peter, "'the stone.' The next day, Jesus desired to go out into Galilee, and he finds Philip and says to him, 'Be continually following me.' And Philip was from Bethsaida, from out of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, 'We have found that one whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from Nazareth.'" And Nathanael says to him, "Is any good thing able to be from out of Nazareth?" Philip says to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he says concerning him, "Behold, truly an Israelite in whom is no deceit." Nathanael says to him, "Well, from where do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip should call you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and says to him, "Rabbi, you yourself are the Son of God. You yourself are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, are you believing? Greater things than these will you see." And he says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, from now on you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What a great text, again, just like Acts. The section is broken down into two sections. Verses 35 through 42 is section 1, and it has to do with the calling of Andrew and Peter. The calling of Andrew and Peter, 35 to 42. And secondly, verses 43 through 51, the calling of Philip and Nathanael. This is known, this section is known in theological terms as the Eureka section. Eureka. Because of the Greek word heurisko, which means I find. Eureka means I have found. This is the heurisko, the Eureka section, as people find the Lord, and it's a very interesting way of doing so. Three things in verses 35 through 42 about Andrew and Peter. The next day, verse 35 tells us, after John had seen Jesus walking and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who remains this, who removes the sin of the world," the next day, John and two of his disciples had been standing, perfect tense, so they've been there a while. They had been standing. Verse 36 says, "And John looked and saw Jesus walking, and says, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" So again, for the second day in a row, he is again looking at Jesus walking, and he's pointing, because that's what "behold" means in Greek. It means to look. Look, the Lamb of God. So what John is continually doing is he's constantly pointing people to Jesus. Constantly. Remember, he's a voice. He's not the main attraction. We too, we're just voices. We're just vessels. Not to bring people to ourselves, but to bring them to Christ. John looked and said, "Look, behold the Lamb." And the two disciples who heard him speaking, they followed Jesus. Now this is going to create a problem later. It's going to create a problem because everybody that came to hear John preach, he pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, behold the Lamb." And so they said, "Okay, because of your preaching, I'm going to go follow Jesus." So how many people are following John? Very few. As time goes on, all these hundreds and thousands that are coming to be baptized, they are now going to be following Jesus and not John. So in chapter 3, people are going to come up to John and his disciples are going to be approached, and the people are going to say, "How come all the people are now following this other man and not John?" And that really got to him. It's like, so his ministry must not be of God. So they came to John and said, "These people are telling us all are following Jesus and not you, so where's your ministry?" John says, "I'm just the friend of the bridegroom and the bride. I'm just a voice introducing the bride and bridegroom to come together, and I rejoice when the bride and bridegroom come together, not when people come to me." Then he made the tremendous statement, "He must increase and I must decrease." No pride in his bones whatsoever to respond to an attack that he doesn't have numbers anymore like he used to. He says, "They're all following Jesus. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to follow me." Verse 38 and 39 is the second section. These two disciples, one of them will be Andrew, as we'll see in a moment, and the other one is probably the Apostle John, who wrote this letter, because throughout his letter he always makes reference to himself without giving name. He will talk about Andrew here in a moment, but verse 38 says, very interesting, when Jesus turned... Because these two are now following him. When Jesus turned and when he observed them following, he says to them, "What are you seeking?" This is very interesting because the Lord's approach to this whole thing is if people are following Him because of the testimony that they've heard, and they now say, I want to follow Jesus, the first thing Jesus does is He turns and He says, what are you looking for? Good question. He's challenging their motivation. Why are you following me? Well, John says that if we follow you, we'll get rich. You know, Jesus is challenging the motivations of people when they hear preaching and hear messages and they start following Jesus, they still don't know Him yet. So the challenge, what are you seeking? They didn't back off. They said to Him, Rabbi, that is by translation and interpretation, Rabbi in Greek, which is actually Hebrew, transliteration from Hebrew, means teacher. Jews always called their teachers Rabbi. That's what it means, teacher. Rabbi, where are you staying? That's the right response. The word staying means to dwell, to remain. So they said, Where are you going to be? Dwelling, staying, remaining. The Lord might pick five different spots that night. Who knows? But wherever the Lord remains is where they want to be. We just want to be wherever you are. John, we heard John talk about you. We don't know you. We just want to be wherever you are. Well, there's a good one for Christian decision making, isn't it? Top priority in our life is to be wherever Jesus is. Wherever we can learn about Him. Lord, we just want to be with You wherever You are. He's with me at home. He's with me on the job. It's not just that He's with me, but spending time with Him. Being where He is and remaining with Jesus. The Lord says in verse 39, interesting, He says, come and see. So now they have to follow because they don't know. That's faith. Jesus said, come and see. So verse 39 says, they stayed with Him. Notice, para. Means alongside of Him. They wanted to remain with Him and stay by His side wherever He was. For it was the 10th hour, which means it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they stayed with Him. The third phase, verses 40 to 42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these two who had heard John preaching and was following Jesus. Andrew finds Peter, his brother, and he says to him, we have found the Messiah. Messiah or Mashiach in Hebrew is Ho Christos, the Christ. That's what Christ means, is Messiah, the Anointed One. We have found the Messiah. So Andrew spent the afternoon and evening with Jesus and talking with the Lord, getting to know the Lord. And the first thing he does is go out and find his brother and said, we found the Messiah. Not because of John, but because they spent time with Jesus and they now know Him as the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Verse 42 says, and He led him to whom? Jesus. Again, the emphasis is leading people to Jesus, not to ourselves, not to our church, not bringing people to a belief in Jesus and then you come to my church. It's leading people to Jesus. And I've always wondered that because in churches in the past that I had been involved in, they said, go out and bring the people in for revival and evangelism. And I always got to thinking, why do they have to come here for that? Why don't I tell them about Jesus there? I mean, I can do both. But why do we have to bring people to the building to hear? Why don't we tell them about Jesus ourselves? If that's what the Lord's leading us to do, tell them about Jesus. And lead them to Jesus. He led him to Jesus. Jesus said to him, when he saw Simon Peter coming, Jesus said, "You yourself are Simon, the son of Jonah." See, right away I would have said, okay, so you know who I am. "You yourself shall be called Cephas," which is Aramaic for the word Petros, which means rock. So Peter responds and now belongs to Christ. Verses 43 to 51, the second phase, Philip and Nathanael. Two phases. First of all, verses 43 to 45, the next day. We're now on the third day. The next day, Jesus wants to go to Galilee. And Jesus finds Philip. Now here's another way that Jesus operates. The Lord Himself can minister and reveal Himself to a person and that person can be saved. You ever notice, know of anybody that has that happen? Happened to me. Nobody ever led me to Christ. Nobody ever prayed with me. The Lord stopped me in my bedroom one night and I knew exactly who He was when His Spirit came upon me and saved me. I had been attending a Bible study for 9 months, and it wasn't that I was, you know, detached from the ministry of God's Spirit. Jesus Himself can stop a person right in their tracks and save them. It's not necessary to go through a ritual or a formula to get saved. Jesus goes out and He finds people. Luke says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you realize that every single person that comes to know Christ is because Jesus went and sought them, either through another person or by His Spirit Himself without human intervention? Jesus goes out and He finds Philip. And He says to him, "Be continually following Me." It's a present imperative. Not just follow one time, but be continually following Me. Now, Philip was from the city of Andrew and Peter. So Andrew and Peter didn't have anything to do with this one. Jesus went and found Philip Himself. So Philip, he finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found that one whom the Moses and the prophets wrote in the law, Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from Nazareth." Verse 46, and you've heard this said often. In fact, some people substitute the word Sisquak for Nazareth, because Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Sisquak?" And you think that it's a put-down about the city of Nazareth, but not, that's not what he's saying. Because Nathanael, as we'll see in a moment, is a very righteous, upstanding man who is seeking Messiah, and I'll show you why in a moment. He knows that from Nazareth, nobody in the Scriptures prophesied, because that's what Philip is telling him, the one whom the prophets and Moses wrote about in the law. We found him. He goes, "Wait a minute. Moses and the prophets didn't write anything about any Messiah coming out of Nazareth. Bethlehem, but not Nazareth." So he wasn't putting down the town. He was actually being very scriptural about his approach. In fact, the word good in the text is agathos. He's talking about a spiritual good. Now, he's not talking about the condition of the city or what he thinks of the city. He's talking about spiritual things here. There isn't anything good that's supposed to come out of Nazareth. The Scriptures don't say that. And so verse 46, Philip says, and here's the right response, "Come and see." If people don't believe us, if Nathanael doesn't believe Philip, hey, come see for yourself. Come and see Jesus and come and hear Him for yourself. Come hear about Him. So it's interesting that all Philip did was say, "Hey, we found the Messiah, the one that Moses and the prophets were prophesying about." "I don't believe it." No, there isn't anything in Scripture about coming on it. Well, come and see for yourself. Come and experience Him for yourself. Come and see. Second phase, 47 to 51. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him, and Jesus says to him, "Behold," again, look. He's pointing right at Nathanael. Look. "Truly an Israelite in whom is no deceit." Verse 48, Nathanael says, "How do you know me? How do you know I don't have any deceit?" Jesus said, "Before Philip should call you and talk to you about me, while you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, why would that cause Nathanael's, you know, it's like driving through Sisquoc and seeing someone sit under a palm tree and say, "Yeah, well, before somebody told you about me, I saw you sitting there." It's like, so? Jews had a habit of taking time off and sitting under the fig trees, praying and concentrating on the law, believing that by doing so, it would cause Messiah to come. So he's telling Nathanael, "I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree praying and meditating on the law," which caused Nathanael to say, "Rabbi, you yourself are the Son of God. You yourself are the King of Israel." Jesus said in verse 50, "You mean because I said to you, I saw you, I physically saw you and perceived who you were and what you were doing underneath the fig tree, that because I told you I saw you, that you are believing? Greater things than these you will see. Behold, you will see the heavens opened." The word "opened" is in a perfect tense, remaining open. A condition of openness. "And you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In the book of Genesis, we call it Jacob's ladder, as he saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. Jesus is saying that ladder, that open connection between God and man, is no longer a ladder. It is the person of Jesus Christ. That God by His Spirit, "Nathanael, from now on, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. All of heaven is going to be poured out on Jesus. And all the spiritual activity is going to be going on between the Lord and the Father in heaven." What a tremendous testimony section about how Jesus testified about Himself, the various ways in which people came to know the Lord, and the various challenges that even Jesus made. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? This is the same Jesus that challenges us, not so much with words as with conviction and circumstances. As we approach the Lord, what's our motivation? What are we seeking? What's in our heart? And then if the Lord gives us a chance to share about the things of Christ, hey, if they don't believe you, you don't have to argue about it. Hey, come and see for yourself. You don't believe it? Come on. Come and see. But the whole picture is, no matter how you look at it in the approach to Christ, this whole presentation is that all of the vessels that were used, whether it's John the Baptist, whether it's Andrew bringing Peter, whether it's the Lord finding Philip, whether it's Philip finding Nathanael, the whole emphasis is leading people to Jesus. I emphasize that because it's very important that we don't bring people to a formula to go through and say, if you go through this formula, you're going to be saved. Bible doesn't promise that. We bring people to Jesus. We lead them to Him. We're just voices. We're just vessels. And if they reject Him, there's nothing we can do. If they doubt it, we can say, come and see for yourself. The invitation's always open. That's how Jesus worked. Right after He was revealed through John the Baptist's ministry to Israel. Next week, we begin John chapter 2, the changing of water into wine. The first miracle of Jesus in His ministry. It's a tremendous study. Next week, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we get to study about Jesus when He was here. We learn His ways. He reveals Himself personally. He moves through those who are His children. He manifests Himself. But the two facts that are important is, number one, that people were always led to lead people to Jesus. And that it is through spending time with Jesus and knowing Him that people were convinced as to who He is. That He is the Logos, the Word of God become flesh. The only one who is interacting with the bosom of God in order to explain and reveal God. How thankful we are that we can learn His ways in the midst of a world, in fact a condition in the body of Christ where we think up systems and ways of witnessing and reaching people. Help us to understand the testimony of the way You reach, the way You bring people, and the personal relationship that is developed there. We thank You for this testimony that reveals to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Word of God, our Savior and our Lord. We pray that by Your Spirit You would help us to understand these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.